read together.
From God's Word, from Psalm 103, here this morning. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 12 from the NIV. And if you can see that up there, if not, if you have a Bible, a pew in your Bible, you can turn to that as well. But we're going to read Psalm 103, 1 to 12 in unison. Let's read it. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word would find lodging in our hearts today, that Your Word would take root and bring about change that will be eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I see we have a couple that came in this morning that realize that our service was at 10:30, but it's at 10 now. That's okay. Great to have you guys with us. We're still getting the word out. All right. Well, I want to tell you about one of the most positive, uplifting, empowering experiences I ever had besides going to Cape Breton Island this past week. That was a great experience. Because I go, where's that? Well, you're going to find out eventually. In case I haven't told you anything about Cape Breton Island, it's a beautiful place. It's a place where I love to just get away, you know, in a place where there was absolutely no cell phones, no phones, nothing. And I was praying nobody would mess things up and want to call me and need some help because I was in a place where cell phones did not work, and that was beautiful. I had my little computer with me, though, and my little laptop, and I did some writing and did some sermon planning and stuff like that. And but I also enjoyed the outdoors and traveling, got some spots visited I'd never been before, and visited a few relatives I hadn't seen in a while ever before either. But I want to tell you about the most positive, uplifting, empowering experience. It was like someone flipped the switch. And I want to talk about flipping the switch this morning. We know what switches are, right? We just flip them on and off. We expect that we get electricity, lights, when we turn the lights on, we flip a switch. Or we get sound when we flip a switch. I want to talk to you about a different kind of switch flipping this morning. Because I know there's been times in my life where there has been a huge wall between me and all that God wanted for me. A big wall. I'm not talking about the wall that some of our politicians talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual wall. I'm talking about a dark cloud that from time to time tends to hang over my head. And I know back in 1974, when I became a believer, it was a huge wall because I realized that that wall was there separating me from my understanding of God's love and my understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And so I, by faith, realized that there was a switch to flip. And it was It was a constant, never-ending sound of static in my ears, preventing me from hearing God's voice. And one simple experience just changed everything when I surrendered to Him, when I gave my life to Jesus, when I became what the Bible calls being born again by the Spirit of God, becoming a child of God, being regenerated. It was like the flipping of a switch from failure to victory, from fear to courage, from total despair to a great sense of optimism and having a positive spirit for life. Now, actually, this experience hasn't only occurred once in my life, it's occurred many times in my life. And every single time, it has been awesome. The flipping of a switch. Now, what experience am I talking about? It's the idea of the biblical notion and the biblical concept of repentance. Repentance. Repentance, the Greek word means metanoia, which means to have a change of mind or a change of direction. I've been talking the last couple of Sundays about this because I believe this is something that the people of God, this is a message that the people of God need to hear in these days. We are living in a culture where the gospel message more and more is being watered down and being taken out. I hear people say, God is love. Yes, God is love. But God is also the God of mercy. He's the God of judgment. He does not allow sin to go unnoticed. It seems as though people are flocking to churches and to places where they don't need to think about their sin. And they don't need to think about their relationship with God. The Bible is so clear. The Bible is just so vivid in helping us understand the fact that it is sin that separates us from a holy God. When I asked you to fill in the blank this morning and I said God is, many of you said many wonderful things about God and who God is. God is also holy. And He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate sin. But the good news is, He did something about it in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Many people believe that you get to heaven by your good works. Many people believe that you get to heaven by, you know, your status in the community and your family background and all of these things. But the Bible is very clear that we all come only one way, and one way alone, and that's by the way of the cross. That's by the way of Jesus Christ. And so, it's an old-fashioned message. I know. It's not a very politically correct message. It's not a message that people want to hear today. But it's still there, and as long as I'm around, I'm still going to preach it. It is a great message. Repentance has this negative connotation about it that many people think if you're talking about repentance, then you're going to get really uncomfortable and it's going to be really unpleasant. Well, the good news is that repentance is what lightens the load. And that's what I want to focus on here this morning. There are many false prophets out there today who do not preach repentance, who do not preach the Word of God as is given to us by the prophets. There are those who say, well, there's this easy believism method, this easy believism way. There are those who believe in a prosperity theology that is really, it's really distorted when it comes right down to it. And it's really sick when it comes right down to it when you think it through. Jesus preached repentance wherever He went, wherever He was. He was always preaching repentance. He preached repentance, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he also said, repent or you will likewise perish. Wow. Those are not very politically correct words in this day and age, we know, but those are words that are here in the Bible. Those are words that God has given us. You see, sin is a negative experience because sin does nothing but bring misery into our lives. Now, some of us have experienced that firsthand, and we know exactly where I'm coming from here. But repentance flips the switch. It does. It shuts off the flow of all that is negative and all that is bad and all that is hurtful in your life, and it releases the flow of all the good things that God wants to bring into our lives. We've had bad habits, whatever they might be. Some of these bad habits get a grip on us, and they do us in. And we refuse to let go of some of these things. Sometimes we hang on to it because it's what we think is just a little sin. And it's really not like murder. It's not like stealing. But it's just a little sin. And I want to make it clear that there's no such thing as a big sin or a little sin. It's all sin. All sin causes trouble. It comes your way. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That the consequence of sin is death and spiritual separation from God. That's what's very clear in the Word of God. But when it comes right down to it, all sin breaks the heart of God. It breaks the heart of God. We think too often that a sin such as gossip is no big deal. We think so often that a sin such as selfishness is no big deal. Oh, you'll get over that. We think so often that such a sin is pride, a sin of pride is no big deal. But let me tell you, pride can ruin a country, it can ruin a family, it can ruin a nation, it can ruin us. There's a good chance that some here this morning are maybe struggling with certain sins in your life. You're doing things that you know aren't right, and your actions are taking you further and further and further from the place of joy that where God wants you to be, from experiencing the abundant life that He has in mind for you, and the success and the contentment that He wants to give you. That's very possible this morning. But whether your sins come from the label big or small, as we tend to categorize them that way, whether they're big or small, they all have the same destructive power. They really do. Sin will never do you any good. It will never make your life better. It will never be a source of joy for you, certainly not long term, and much short term as well. It will never strengthen a relationship. It will never help you achieve peace of mind. Sin just doesn't work that way. Because sin destroys, sin corrupts, sin takes the Word of God and makes mockery out of it. The wages of sin is death. And all it can bring into your life is absolute misery. Why? Because I know from experience, and many of you do as well, that sin can make you miserable. But here's what I want you to understand today. There's a common misconception about this whole idea of repentance. A common misconception that many people think that repentance is kind of like turning yourself in. And it's kind of like giving God permission to punish you. They think that when you repent of your sin, that God starts paying you back for all the wrong you've done. Taking it out of your hide, so to speak. I remember my dad saying, you know, you step out of line, I'm going to take that out of your hide, one way or the other. They think that is when punishment begins, when you repent, that maybe that this God up in the sky, this great granddad or whatever, he wields a big stick. And if you get out of line, you're going to get whacked with it. That's some people's conception of who God is. And living the right way or the wrong way, whatever way you want to interpret it. So, just to make you really, really sorry, and you really, really learn your lesson, and you'll never do it again. That's really not what repentance is. It's not really what the Bible says. That's not what happens when you repent. Right now, the misery that you're going through, maybe, some of you here this morning, the loneliness, the fear, the frustration, the isolation, the guilt, the lack of peace, the absence of God's blessings, these are the wages of sin. This perhaps may be God's judgment upon you. I don't know. It may be God's punishment. That's what's happening now. When you repent, though, and when you repent the way the Bible teaches repentance, it's like flipping a switch. It really is. And it enables God to start bringing the good things in your life again. Start multiplying those blessings that he talks about in his word. All those promises that are here for us in his word. He wants us to know and he wants us to enjoy. So some may ask, well, what does it mean to repent? What does that mean? And how do I do it? How do I repent? Is there a formula? Is there a step one, a step two, a step three? How do I repent? Repentance is the process of saying, God, I was wrong. I'm wrong. And I admit it. And I want to be right with you. And I want to do it your way instead of my way. I want to live for you and not myself. And I want to do right in my life. And I'm going to keep turning from my sin and keep turning to you and keep asking you for forgiveness until I know that the victory is mine. And that every single day I am living in the victory of the Holy Spirit that lives and indwells me. You see, some people think that repentance is only needed when you ask Jesus into your life. That's only once. You know, I need to repent every day. Every single day. Because as David says, my sin is ever before me. And I know that I have many, many flaws. And I sin and I fall short of God's glory and I fall short of his expectation. So I need to turn to him every day, and I need to repent of my sin every day. I'm just now getting to the center of this message this morning. But before I continue, I'd like us to pray a prayer of repentance together. Because it's so important that every single one of us understands repentance. Not like some of the prosperity preachers talk about, not like some of the easy believism philosophies that's out there, but what the Bible says and how the Bible teaches repentance. So I'd like to pray a prayer like this one, and you don't have to use my exact words because it's the attitude of your heart that really matters the most. That's what's important. But you can pray a prayer like this. Just bow your heads right now and let's talk to God about this whole idea of repentance. And you can say something like this. Father, I admit that I have sin in my life. I admit that my actions are displeasing to you and that they are harmful to me and to those around me. My sin has offended you. It has hurt my relationships. It has damaged my spiritual life. It has prevented me from experiencing the new abundant life that you have designed for me. And to the best of my ability, I am turning from my sin right now. And in faith, I am turning to you. To the best of my ability and by the power of your Spirit, I am abandoning my sin right now, and I'm asking you for forgiveness. I will do this, Lord, as many times as it takes to get the victory, because I want to please you with my life. And I don't deserve your mercy, but I can't live without it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Now, for those of you who have prayed this prayer, and if you've meant it in your heart, you just flip the switch. You flip the switch. And let me tell you what you can expect. And that's why we turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is what you can expect after you have repented and turned to Christ. You've turned to God. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103, and there are three things I want you to see. The first thing is this. The first one is this, that repentance flips the switch on God's forgiveness. Without the forgiveness of God, we have absolutely nothing. Without the forgiveness of God, we are empty. We are void. Life is meaningful. When you repent, God forgives you. He does. He does it now, and he does it completely. He doesn't forgive you just a little bit at a time. He doesn't stretch it out over a series of weeks and months. He doesn't only forgive the little bitty sins. He forgives the big ones, and he forgives all sins, all your sins, no matter how private, no matter how public they may be. This is what David said in verses 2 and 3. Look at what David says. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins." That word "all" is a very powerful word right here in this text. In the Hebrew, that word "all" means all. It means all. Not just some of your sins, not just a few select sins, but he says all of your sins. And the same idea is found in 1 John 1:9. And it's a great passage. And John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And guess what? The word "all" in the Greek means all. It means all. Every single one of them. Every single one. God forgives you totally and completely. Isn't that amazing? Totally and completely. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He takes all your filthiness away, because the Bible says we are all like filthy rags. And we've all come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We've all missed the mark. He forgives you totally, completely. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He doesn't leave a remnant behind. He doesn't leave a smudge mark on your soul to remind himself later of how bad you were. He washes you fully clean, whiter than snow. As the old hymn says, "Whiter than snow, Lord, whiter than snow." Listen to how David describes it in verse 12. Look down at verse 12. This is what he says. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Now that's an amazing concept, as far as the east is from the west. It's really, you know, if you start here and go around the world, you know, and come back to Bodenham, Maine, you'd covered a lot of real estate, a lot of territory. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed your transgressions from you. This past week I was in a place called Meek Cove, Cape Breton Island. I mean, you can't go any farther on the mainland of Canada or the U.S. apart from Meek Cove. you look out over the waters and, well, the next stop would be Newfoundland. But beyond that, the Atlantic Ocean, the North Atlantic, and over to Europe from there. An absolutely beautiful sight. You think it's the end of the world, but the end of the earth, but you can see the end of the earth from there. It just seems like to be going for forever to get there. But the universe is infinite. But if you could go to the eastern end of the universe, imagine how far it would be from the western end. It's a distance that can't be measured. It really can't. And that's how far has he separated you from your sin. In the book of Isaiah, he says this, in Isaiah 43:25, he says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. God has this ability to remember your sin no more. Now you think that he would. You would think that God would remember your sin, but he doesn't. He says, I will remember your sin no more. That's pretty awesome. When God forgives, he forgets. Not like us. Sometimes we hold a grudge against somebody, and we may forgive them, but we may never forget. We may never forget. And we may hold grudges, and we may hold unforgiveness in our hearts for many, many years. But God forgives, he forgets. And that means that you can forget too. When you repent, you just flip the switch on God's forgiveness. And God takes care of the rest by faith. The second thing here is not just the idea of forgiveness, but repentance flips the switch on God's comfort. There's a verse in Isaiah that's really powerful. And it really says something. He says in verse 2, I will praise you, O Lord, of Isaiah 12, verse 2. I will praise you, O Lord, though you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. God comforts us when we flip the switch, when we repent, when we turn to him, when we trust him. He comforts us. There's no question about it. God gets angry with us about our sin. Why? Because sin is ugly. It is the antithesis of who he is and who he wants you to become. Sin is something that destroys your fellowship with him. It destroys your relationship with other people. And ultimately, sin can destroy you. It really can. God wants nothing but good in your life. That to me is comforting. That to me is something worth it all. He wants you to accomplish good things with your life. He wants you to walk in close fellowship with him. And sin, many times, most of the time, in fact, all the time, prevents this from happening. God is angry at our sin. But when we turn from our sin, he puts his anger aside. Did you know that? He puts his anger aside, and he embraces us, and he gives us the comfort we need. And we need that comfort. For all the stresses and all the trials and all the difficulties of life, we need God's comfort. And I know myself that apart from the comfort of God, apart from his comfort and his spirit of peace within my heart, I could never make it in this world. Apart from his comfort, I could never, never face some of the challenges, some of the obstacles, some of the difficulties, some of the trials that come my way. He wants me to have that comfort. He wants you to have that comfort. And that only comes after we repent of our sin and turn to him. That means he releases us from the guilt and the shame and the sense of regret that every single one of us face. He reminds us that we don't have to live in the past. And we can have a clean heart. We can have a clean life. We can have joy. And we can have new life in him that only he alone can bring. Verse 9, of Psalm 103. Look at what it says. It says, "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever." Now, for the unbeliever, for the person that doesn't know Christ, for the person who rejects God in their lives, then the Bible is very clear that God is angry because of their sin. He has done something about it. He sent Jesus into the world, and because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, God is angry. God will someday have the final word in judgment. But for those of you and those of us who have made a mess of things with sin, we understand how God can be angry at our sin. He really can, because you are angry at your sin. You see the destruction that it brought in your life. You see the pain that your sin may have caused others, and it makes you mad. And I understand, because I've been there myself. But I want you to remember that God's anger doesn't last forever. That's the good news of the gospel. That God's anger does not last forever. Because God is ready to forgive you. God is ready to comfort you. God is ready to strengthen you. God is ready to empower you beyond you what you can imagine or what you can realize. And David said here in this beautiful psalm, Psalm 103, look at verse 13. Look what David says. He says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Those who fear him. Fear God? Yes. Did you ever hear the term the fear of God? My father used that term many times, even though he wasn't a believer. He always said, "I will put the fear of God right in you, son, if you step out of line." The fear of God. And this world continues to live in such a way that the fear of God is not even thought about anymore. I believe if we could just come back to this whole idea of the fear of God, we may very well have a better world to live in today. We may very well. But look what it says in verse 14. Verse 13 again, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Verse 14, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust." Now you may feel like God is mad at you, but all that ends when you turn to him. Repentance is something that flips the switch, which allows God to begin his healing process in your life and begins changing you and begins making you a new creature. And you can say, "For I am a new creature in Christ. The old has passed and the new has come. Therefore, I am of the redeemed." When it comes to your sin, John MacArthur says that God doesn't want to rub it in. He wants to rub it out. He wants to rub it out. And he wants to comfort you. He wants to strengthen you with his mercy so he can change you through and through. I hear people all the time say, "You know, I have nothing to do with your Christianity because all it does is condemn. All it does is judges. All it does is characterizes people." Well, let me tell you that Christianity, that the message of Christ, that the message of the cross, that the message of salvation is liberating. It is more liberating than anything else that has ever been on this planet. It is the empowerment of God within the heart of an individual who repents and turns to him. So the third thing, we think of comfort, we think of forgiveness, but repentance also switches on God's blessings. A lot of people like to talk about the blessings of God. And I hear, wherever I go, I hear people talking about these good things of God. And that's wonderful. But the good news of the gospel is that repentance does bring blessing. And we think of it in the opposite way. We think of it in a way that may seem to be a little bit unusual for us to think about. We might be tempted to think God could never forgive me. God could never bless me. I've sinned too much. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not. I hear people say, well, if I walked into the church would fall down on me. And the roof would cave in. Or if I get near these Christians, well, I'd be zapped. Well, what a way to go. But look at verse 10. It's Psalm 103. Look at what the psalmist says. He does not treat us as our sins deserve and repay us according to our iniquities. And praise God for that. If God were to treat us for what we deserved, every single one of us would be in a heap of trouble. We would be in a pile of trouble. Let me tell you, there'd be no way out of it. There'd be no escape if we got what we deserved. But God is merciful. God is awesome. God is powerful. He is holy. He is saying that none of us get what we've got coming to us because God is merciful far beyond what we deserve. And then in verse 4, look what David says. Psalm 103, verse 4. He redeems your life from the pit, and he crowns you with love and compassion, and satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Like the eagles. The other day, I saw a beautiful bald-headed eagle sitting way up on the top of a tree, ready to come down into that salmon pond where I was fishing. And he was ready to make his dive at any moment. Got a good picture of him. And it's like that eagle swooning in. And so the psalmist says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. An amazing picture of that altogether. And do you know what that means? It means that God is ready to start blessing you again. After you've repented of your sin, after you've turned to him, the sin in your life may build a barrier between you and the abundance that God has in store for you. But repentance destroys that barrier. It releases the flow of God's abundance in your life. That's all it is. He releases the flow of God's abundance. I can't think of any better way to be blessed than that. When you repent, the flip is switched. The switch is turned on, and God is able to pour out his goodness. God is able to pour on his mercy, his grace. You will know it more than you've ever known it before. You will experience it beyond what you can imagine you could experience yourself, because God's mercies are new and fresh with each and every day. That's why I say that repentance is the most positive, uplifting, empowering experience you'll ever have. Because when you repent, all the obstacles between you and God's fullness are broken into pieces. That wall is broken down. And when you repent of your sin, whether it is the first time or the 500,000th time, all of heaven itself rejoices. All of heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes home, the Bible says. But he rejoices every time you repent. He rejoices every time you turn back to him, turn to him in faith. When you repent, the past is put away, it is erased, it is forgotten. Do we deserve this? Absolutely not. I don't. I never have, and I never will. But it is God's gift. It is God's gift to me. It is God's gift to you when you repent. When you repent, God can begin working in your life again, using you, blessing you, comforting you, empowering you. This is why Peter spoke these words in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 9, Peter said this when he preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. He says, repent then. Repent and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. God wants us to experience times of refreshing. I'm confident of that. He wants you to be refreshed. He doesn't want you to be labored. He doesn't want you to carry a heavy load. He doesn't want you to experience pain or discouragement. He's not out to get you. He loves you. He gave himself for you. He wants you to be refreshed, like the refreshing winds, like the refreshing waters. He wants you to be refreshed. Times of refreshing. That's what we need. That's what America needs. That's what our families need. That's what our community needs. Times of refreshing. And that refreshing can only come from repentance. And so the question I ask this morning, are you ready for God to restore you? Do you want to wash away the past? Do you want God to comfort you and strengthen you and bless you with his goodness? Then don't let any sin, no matter how big or how small it may be, to stand in your way, because he wants you to experience that refreshing. Give yourself fully to him, will you? Trust him completely. Let him do his work in you. Let him refresh you with his Holy Spirit. Allow him to make you alive and make you whom he's created you to be. I believe that's the message of repentance right there. It's not a negative message. It's positive. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It's eternal. Come to Christ today if you've never made that commitment to him. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. If you've never invited him into your life. Turn to Jesus. He's willing and he wants to accept you just as you are, because he loves you and he gave himself for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you've called us to repent and to turn to you. This is such a vital part of the message of your word, of the message of the gospel. And yet we tend to skip over it so much of the time, realizing that it will cause us inconvenience. It will cause us maybe even embarrassment. But Lord, you have promised in your word that when we repent, when we turn to you, you're able to do that which we cannot do for ourselves. And so, Lord, refresh our hearts today. Revive our spirits. Fill our lives with your presence. Empower us, O God, to serve you and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.